Thank you. delivers another journey into information, education, and training. And I like to say good morning to everyone and start out by inviting everyone who's on this quest, this journey with us this morning, starting with Walter, just by saying good morning. Good morning, Walter.
Yes, good morning, everybody.
All right. How are you feeling this morning, Walter?
I'm feeling good. What about you?
All right. Well, you know, you can hear it in my voice. Good morning, Justin. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. I'm good.
All right. He said good morning and let us know how he's feeling. Tanisha Gardner, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. And how are you feeling?
I'm good.
Okay. You're good. All right. Short answer. All right. We have 0942. Just say good morning. We also have 5671. Good morning. Welcome to the journey, the quest journey.
Good morning.
All right. So, okay. Yeah. Mr. Harris, how are you?
Superlative.
All right. And there's a word that we can look into. And music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meaning that we can comprehend, like definition. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora, and you're sure to find our quest moment, where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibrations. So I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on our journey this morning to hear a different perspective of our community. And now, we welcome you to listen in on our student hosts, Walter Pierce and Justin Hill, as they present to you their segments of Diamonds, Definitions, and Curtain. And we begin with Mr. Walter Pierce. Take it away.
Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, 5 and 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. You see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people, a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, my diamond segment for this week is on John McClendon. And see, while serving as basketball coach at North Carolina Central, he was also the athletic director, a post he held for 12 years. At Hampton, he had additional positions as the assistant director of athletics and physical education. At Tennessee State, McClendon was appointed to the post of director of basketball operations from 1954 to 1959, and director of the Department of Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Athletics from 1962 to 1963. However, it was his service on the National Athletic Steering Committee, which he founded in 1949, that had a large impact on the integration of basketball and eventually all sports. As a leader of the game without rival, McClendon began the championship run in 1957 when he coached Tennessee State to 3 consecutive NAIA National Tournament Championships. McClendon's success in the collegiate ranks led him to the professional arena. Cleveland businessman Ed Sweeney, owner of the Cleveland Pipers of the National Industrial Basketball League, and Mike Cleary, former executive director of the National Association of Collegiate Directors of Athletics, who was the Pipers' general manager at the time, recognized McClendon's ability. They hired him as the coach of the Pipers in 1959. The NIBF was a high-profile, company-sponsored league of post-college players. McClendon led the racially integrated Pipers to the NIBL championship title in addition to the AAU title in 1961. Sweeney eventually sold the team to George Sternberger, which to become Sternberger's first venture into professional sports ownership. The Pipers became part of the National Basketball League, ABL, in 1962, making McClendon the first African-American professional coach. In 1966, McClendon was hired by Cleveland State University, becoming the first African-American head coach at a predominantly white institution. In addition, McClendon coached an integrated U.S. All-Star team overseas, winning all 8 games against the Soviet Union while in Russia. He also served on the U.S. Olympic basketball staff in both 1968 and 1972. Following his basketball coaching career in 1991, John McClendon worked collaboratively with Converse, serving as a global goodwill ambassador for basketball. He unselfishly and tirelessly delivered shoes and provided basketball clinics to more than 55 countries while he was not distributing sneakers on the south side of Chicago. And that concludes my segment on John McClendon. And again, the reason we bring him up for this week especially is because of the situation of African-American coaches in both college and the NBA. You know, you see very few of them currently in both college and basketball. And, you know, it's time to bring some spotlight to some great black coaches in our sports realm. So thank you for listening. This is Screamer host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
Okay, and I'm back. Only to say that the way John McClendon came about being part of our content for this morning was I actually looked into, I was looking to find whether or not Shahid Holloway was the first black coach at Seton Hall University. Of course, the Cinderella team that he brought from St. Peter's, Jersey City, brought them to the surface so that everyone could acknowledge them. And in my search to find the answer, I found John McClendon, and that opened the door to other discussions about athletes and basketball and first in the area. And so while Walter was able to deliver a compact a segment on the information, you know, we always talk about Jackie Robinson, you know, being the first one to integrate into baseball, but we never really look at, you know, the integration into the sport of basketball. And on one level, one might say, you know, why sports? You know, there are scholastic things that we could be doing as a people and a culture. And I say to that, why not? But with that being said, I open up the line for discussion for anyone who might have a question or a comment about John McClendon and or basketball, the NCAA, or the whole integration idea. And as usual, I'm going to start out with Mr. Sheldon Harris and see if you have any questions or comments as it pertains to this subject.
I have not heard of this particular fellow that you're talking about, but I have heard of all the schools that he worked at. You know, they're all predominantly black schools. The what really got me is like today, for example, I guess the legacy of this brother is that John Thompson was the first brother to win the NCAA championship in basketball on this date, actually, on this 8. It was a few years back with when Patrick Ewing and them were youngsters. But, you know, but there's always been influx of African-American athletes. You know, whenever sport we get into, we raise the level of that sport exponentially. You know, and it's just, I'm glad that this brother is getting his props. Thanks to Walter and I guess yourself for bringing it up. You know, but we have a lot of firsts and stuff in our diaspora that have been unsung. And I'm glad to hear some of the songs being done now. So that was a really good segment.
Okay. Tanisha Gardner, I know you're not big on sports, but do you have a question or a comment?
I want to say that's the first time I heard of him, and that's good to know, especially with a lot of youth that do play basketball or any type of sport. It's very important for them to know the intricate pieces that makes the game work. And I think we need to start educating our children, not just to be a player, but to how to be an owner, how to be a coach, how to be a lawyer within that field or a therapist in that field. And I think those, you know, it's starting to bring light to that. So I'm happy that we're having this conversation.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up that particular point, because the whole idea of becoming an NBA basketball player, the odds are against you. I forget the breakdown, but the number of teams. Walter, I don't know if you can help me. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. But Walter, do you have any idea of the odds of becoming an NBA basketball player?
It's like one in probably a million or more.
Right. Now, when you say that, that's based off of the numbers of people who would like to actually participate and the opportunity being availed to them. And so Tanisha Gardner brings up a good point that there are other fields, there are other things that you can go into in that particular area other than just being a player, right? Because one of the things that we need to also, I'd like to bring to the point is the leadership and development that it takes, which transfer into one's life, you know, being a team player, having leadership qualities and always having the tenacity to advance and being consistent at what you do, to do it to the best of your ability. And with that being said, I'd like to move on musically, right? And don't you go anywhere, keep it locked. And right now, Choices of Color.
If you had a choice of color, Which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Woman friend, and share with black folks not of kin. People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you held your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers?
And welcome back to Quest Youth Radio. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio, and now it's time for our next student host, Mr. Justin Hill. Take it away.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Mr. Bay Sid. I'm student host Justin Hill with WSLU. And for my first segment, which is Diamonds, will be on Michael Jordan. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And Michael Jordan was born February 17, 1963. He's an American businessman and former professional basketball player. He was integral in popularizing the NBA around the world in the 1980s and 1990s, becoming a global cultural icon in the process. Jordan played 15 seasons in the NBA, winning 6 championships with the Chicago Bulls. He is also the principal owner and chairman of the Charlotte Hornets, of the NBA, and of 23XI Racing and the NASCAR Cup Series. Also, one of the most effectively marketed athletes of his generation, Jordan is also known for his product endorsements. He fueled the success of Nike's Air Jordan sneakers which were introduced in 1984 and remain popular today. And Jordan's individual accolades and accomplishments include 6 NBA Finals Most Valuable Player Awards, 10 scoring titles, 5 MVP awards, 10 All-NBA first-time distinct designations, 9 All-Defensive First Team honors, and 14 NBA All-Star game selections. He holds the NBA records for career regular season scoring average 30.12 points per game, and career playoff scoring average 33 points per game. In 1999, he was named the 20th century's greatest North American athlete by ESPN and was second to Babe Ruth on the Associated Press list of athletes of the century. And that concludes my segment on diamonds. And I chose Michael Jordan because I think he's an inspiration to many people, and I think he's a great basketball player. Thank you for listening.
Okay.
You can win as long as you keep your head to the sky. Be optimistic.
Winning up is the sun.
You can win as long as you keep your head.
Okay, we're back. And I want to start a little discussion here on Michael Jordan. And it seems that there's some pros and some cons. But one of the things that Justin brought out was the fact that his marketing genius with his apparel brand and sneakers. And, the fact that you can look at him as a genius for his investment. And once again, I want to start out with Mr. Shelton Harris. And no holds barred. We're on the podcast. Mr. Harris, do you have a question or do you have a comment to Michael Jordan being a great basketball player and marketing genius?
Yeah, as far as basketball players, you really can't – you don't really have a lot of negatives as far as basketball player. You know, but when it comes to his business, like investments, you know, he's he was really opportunistic in 1984 to get the Nike endorsement. They didn't really believe that it was going to spiral into the multi-million dollars and even billion-dollar business that it did, you know. But you know, in looking at it, you know, the Nike sneakers, as far as manufacturing of them, they only cost $25 to make, but they're selling them for upwards of $200, $150, $200 per sneaker. And out of that, Michael Jordan only gets $15 per sneaker sold. You know, but the fact that they're selling millions of them is a good thing for him. But a lot of the stuff, a lot of the money and stuff that's coming out of the sales of sneakers, which people in our community are real adamant about having. The youth today feels like there's no other sneaker to buy but Nike. You know, and that's from his, you know, from the marketing and all the other merchandising that his companies and stuff have done over the years. And there was also this, you know, since I did my research, and, you know, I guess it's important to do that, there was also a rumor about him investing in private prisons. Now, there is somebody named Michael Jordan that is investing in private prisons, but it isn't this basketball player that we was talking about, though. You know, so I just want to make that clear. I was kind of, you know, trying to put him on blast for that. But a lot of things, a lot of his marketing stuff, even though it might not be directly directed, but it's mostly directed into the black community. And it's caused a lot of positive things for the people who are selling the sneakers, but a lot of negative things because people have actually been killed over his sneakers because of the price. You know, you see when he has a new sneaker coming out, he'll have – lines will be outside of the store before it even opens, like hundreds of people waiting to buy sneakers. You know, and it's not really positive for the stuff that he gives back to the community. Nowhere reflects the amount of stuff he's taken out of our community. So, you know, I'm not mad at him as a basketball player. He's almost unmatched, almost. But as far as a businessman, and as far as how he reaches out to the community, it leaves a lot to be desired.
Okay. Thank you very much for that comment and that extra research to dispel any disparities on his name that would have us think negative about him. Of course, with any person, you can, if you look hard enough, you can find something wrong with anybody because we're all human, meaning that nobody's perfect. So now that being said, I want to go to Tanisha Gardner. You have a question or a comment as it pertains to Michael Jordan?
Not really. I guess I have to do some more research. I guess I would say that we have to look at the companies that we do partnerships with because I guess like for Nike, you know, it's where do they get the employees from? And you know, I guess, you know, back in the 90s and like early 80s, it dealt with a lot of, you know, sweatshops. And it's like, what are they doing now? And are they still practicing those practices, and how do we really know that they are doing it the correct way?
Okay, in the actual production of the sneakers. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I've had the opportunity to see and be on the inside while these lines were forming to purchase these Nike and different sneakers. And I can tell you, some of those people that are in those lines have parlayed sneakers, the purchase of sneakers, into million-dollar businesses. And I'm talking about the average Joe or Jane. And so when these sneakers are being released, what they're actually doing is purchasing as they come out, and they're trying to purchase in bulk, and then hold on to the sneakers and then sell them over again for even larger amounts. And that's where I want to say craziness comes in, but it's not so crazy, because from a salesmanship and marketing point of view, some of these young people have parlayed the sneaker business into a million-dollar business. And so I just want to say that. Does Michael Jordan have anything to do with that? No. But this is something that kind of is on the peripheral, right? Let me speak to the young people here that are in the room and find out their thoughts on, well, Walter, I'm going to come straight to you. What do you think about the Nike sneaker, the Jordan? Is it your favorite sneaker? What do you think about the marketing? Give us some input, question, and comment.
Yeah, you know, I am a fan of the Jordan brand, Nike brand, of course. And I really wanted to touch on a point you just made, talk about how I probably kind of disagree with all the resale business and how people are really making millions of it now. See, probably years ago, resellers would just stand in front of lines, and they'll have multiple people with them, and they'll buy them, and then they'll resell them. But now sneakers have evolved to an online business as well, and many online platforms that people could just order sneakers from. So now, with all the new technology that is available to us, people are now creating things called bots, which basically are computer programmed like bots, and they buy sneakers once they're officially released. Like immediately as they're released, people would plug in these bots, and then they would just buy as many as they want. And this has really affected a lot of people, especially regular people who just want to buy the sneakers just to wear them. Because now you have people like this who use this type of technology to their advantage and then completely rise the prices of the sneaker, knowing that the sneaker won't be available anyplace else. And they take advantage of that by making the sneaker a ridiculous price and selling it to another person, which affects the consumer who actually just wants to buy the sneaker and just to wear it. So I feel like the resale business and all of that has really gotten to a point where it's actually really negatively affecting a lot of people, actually. That's how I feel.
Okay. All right. Well, that being said, we want to keep it moving, right? And Walter, since we're with you, I'd like for you to continue to your next segment.
Thank you. And this next segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for this week is coaching. And coaching is a form of development in which an experienced person supports a learner or client in achieving a specific personal or professional goal by providing training and guidance. Now, of course, you all know what the definition of coaching was, and you're probably wondering why this is a definition for this week. Well, first off, we talked about Don McClendon, who was a coach for multiple teams and a very successful one. And you're probably wondering, you know, what makes a successful coach? And a lot of people would just say, you know, somebody who's a motivator, somebody who's very knowledgeable about the certain either sport or topic or whatever. But something that I've heard recently that makes a lot of sense is what makes a great coach is actually consistency and being able to show up and show out each and every day for a certain person or team. Basically makes a team or that person more successful because they're constantly reminded that this person's here for them and they're able to continue to get information that's going to better them from multiple outlets, which could negatively affect a child especially because, you know, for children, consistency and seeing that same person each and every day, giving them the information that they need benefits the kids. But, you know, if a certain coach, you know, doesn't show up every day and doesn't give it his all, you know, that could really affect a student or a player especially. Me understanding that I've played multiple sports, I understand that, you know, a coach is not consistent and having to, you know, see different people, different coaches telling you different information could really affect your performance. And that's not what you really want. So really, in conclusion of this segment, I just want to let you know that the most important thing that makes a coach really, in my opinion, is consistency. And that concludes my segment on definitions. This is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
Okay. And we're going to go with the sounds of the biz.
1, 2, 3, come on. We got DJ Kool and Duck. Get come fresh. Rock to the beat, cause we are the best. Dougie Fresh and Biz Markie,
hey.
Rock to the beat in the place to be. We got Biz Markie and DJ 20, so hit me with your horns and make that money.
Grandma, I can get busy.
Can I kick it?
Yeah.
You know that I can do it with the mic on my hand.
Yeah.
You remember that? I want you. Yo, that is that. Tick-tock, tock, tick-tock, do the die. No matter what I say, it always come on fire. The ladies in here feel like fruit in the cup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
Yo, let me stress my fella, my man. Yo.
Background, it's time for our next segment and our next student host, Mr. Justin Hill, and your segment of definitions. Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And for my next segment, which is definitions, is on the word dexterity. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And the word dexterity means readiness and grace and physical activity. And also skill and ease in using the hands. And that's it for my definition. I thank God for listening. I am still host Justin Hill on WSLU.
Okay. So you didn't really have a reason for that choosing that particular word? Justin?
Yes.
Yeah, I was asking, is there a particular reason why you chose that word, dexterity?
I don't really know.
Okay, outside of that was what we discussed in the studio, and it was a word that came up. Okay, not a problem. We're going to continue on because we're running out of time, right? But being nimble is very important, right? And tenacious and dexterity is very important. So that being said, we're going to continue on. And I want to say that we're doing the segment of curtains. And prepare yourself, Walter. The introduction, basically, you know, every time I think about this particular segment, I can't say it enough. It makes me proud to be able to tell other people that when we look at a musical artist, we look at what they've done behind the curtains of the stage to have an impact on the community in a positive way. Many recording artists grow rich from the community just by making music, and this is the segment where we look at the artists and what they've done behind the curtains of the stage, again, to make a positive impact on the community. Mr. Walter Pierce, curtain, take it away.
Thank you. And my current person for this week is Chaka Khan. And in 1999, she established the Chaka Khan Foundation, which includes a variety of programs and initiatives that assist women and children at risk. In July of 2012, she received the McDonald Corporation's 365 Black Award, honoring her for her leadership of the Chaka Khan Foundation. Besides being a successful musician and a devoted philanthropist, she is also a successful entrepreneur. In 2004, she launched the line of Gourmet, which was sold in 20 Nemus Market stores around the country. In February of 2013, she launched her signature brand of chocolates nationally and internationally, and was also introduced to Khan Sotra Candle, the first product and fragrance line for men, women, and at home. And, you know, Chaka Khan also supports other foundations, which include the Gabriel Andrews Foundation, the Bonnie J. Addario Lung Cancer Foundation, I Am Angel Foundation, Jazz Foundation of America, and Save the Music Foundation. The causes that she supports is at-risk and disadvantaged youth, autism, cancer, children, creative arts, education, and women. And as you can see, Chaka Khan is a person who uses her fame and the wealth that she has accumulated from her music into the people and to other business opportunities for herself. So, you know, she's a smart entrepreneur. She created these different lines of chocolates and candles, and also supported and invested in numerous foundations that help support at-risk youth and also children all across America. So thank you for listening to my segment on Chaka Khan. You are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU.
Okay. So we're rounding down to 5.5 minutes left to our podcast, which is basically done on the platform of Blog Talk Radio. You can find us on air every Saturday morning, airing from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange on 89.5 WSOU. We go by the name. Our program is Quest Community Vibrations, Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. And before I play a song by Chaka Khan, I'd like to get everybody's input on our podcast and what you thought about it. Now, before you make your comment, right, or ask a question at the end of this podcast, I just want everybody to keep in mind that while we've spoken about financial literacy. Today we actually had an opportunity to talk about a basketball player, Michael Jordan, who actually parlayed his career into a business after he left the court, the basketball court, as a player. And talk about financial literacy. Well, it seems that he did his homework along with his partnership with Nike to parlay himself into a multi-billionaire, millionaire. I'm not sure which one, but I am sure that he is very successful. And we talked about coaching and leadership and development, athletics and athletes, which is about teaching. We wanted you to understand that in any sport, right, you have to be nimble. The sport of choice today was basketball, and with practice and consistency, you can go anywhere and be anything in your life. And so that being said, last comments before I play Shaka Khan, and we're going to start out with our number one fan, Val. Good morning. Any question or comment, last words for our podcast for this morning?
Good morning, Quest Youth Radio. As always, thank you for the informative information that you present to your audience. Quest Youth Radio, the best youth radio.
Oh, yeah, right. And we want to go to Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, I said a mouthful, right? And we want to thank you for your due diligence on doing the research, because I've heard that rumor about Michael Jordan investing into the industrial prison system. And it seems that you dispelled that rumor. Last comment for today's podcast before we let it rip on Shaka Khan.
All right. Well, my last comment would have to be about Shaka Khan herself. The fact that all the things she's doing now as far as giving back to the community, she started that as a young person, being a part of the Black Panther Party in Chicago. So she's been known for doing stuff for the community for a long time.
Okay. Thank you for that input. Very important. And so are you, Mr. Harris. We thank you for your input and your assistance with the program. Justin Hill, what did you think about today's show? Any questions or comments?
I thought today's show was great.
Okay. And we gave you some feedback on Michael Jordan as well, some things that you might not have found written on the page. Tanisha Gardner, what did you think about today's show?
Today was an excellent show, and it also teaches you to always do your own research and to always get the right knowledge.
Okay. That's very important. You know, in this day and time with the social media, you can't believe everything that you read on that internet, ladies and gentlemen, right? Do your due diligence. I want you to close us out, Walter, and when you do, that'll be it, and then we'll go straight to Shaka Khan.
I want to thank you for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of CN Hall in South. Quest Youth Radio is the best.
The best youth radio.
The best youth radio. Mm-hmm.